in the affairs of life, that he might please him that called him. I know a little bit about that because I have a few rental properties. You know, preachers don't have a pension fund that churches set up for them, and so I bought a few rental properties. Every one you buy takes a little bit more of your time away from you. A commode is stopped up. You get a call in the middle of the night, got to go over there and figure out what happens and what's got to be done to fix it. Maybe there's a disturbance created by the person that is your tenant. And maybe it's just going to court to go through an eviction because this person is not conducting themselves properly. Whatever it is, they're not any free rides there. They take a chunk of your time. And every one of them that you add means that you've got that much less of your life that you can use for something else. The wise man said, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Think about what that says. It doesn't run so good with the American idea of the more I involve myself, the more money I make, and life's going to be better because I got more money in the bank. And we're always trying to get more and more and more. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. That's what the wise man was telling us. Did we really believe that? And he said again, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. Do you notice that? Every time you get a raise, before you know it, it's gone. You've already committed it to something else. And after a while, you're just having to run a little harder to keep up with where you are. And the wise man's saying to us, look at these kind of things that they distract us from our service. Have you ever seen this illustration before? There is a time management guru named Stephen Covey. And what he made the point was that in order to get all these things into this little glass jar, you got to be careful how you do them. And he said the key is that you've got to put in the most important, the biggest things first. And then the things that are not as important go in, and the ones lesser important. And finally, he shows you by doing that, you can really get all of those things, the same things, into the jar. On the one hand, it doesn't look like it'd fit. But if you put them in that order, you can put them in and get them in that jar. Now, the bad part about his illustration is this. It makes you think that if I manage everything carefully, I can do it all. You can't. It's not always mismanagement of time. Sometimes you're just trying to put more in that jar than will fit. Now you take, for example, our team in our area is the Avon Orioles. It doesn't sound like the Groveston Fighting Indians to me, but I never thought about an Oriole as a go Orioles and all that. But you know, your kids go through school. And one of them said, I want to be in the band. So you put them in the band. They have to go to band practice, and you have to drive them there, and you have to pick them up. And whenever they have a presentation, you got to make sure they get there. And then another one decides he wants to play soccer. And now you got to run the band practice, and you've also got to get the kid to soccer. You've been through this, any of you moms? And then there's another one there that wants to be in volleyball, and they got all these things going on at the same time. And let's face it, you can't be at two places at the same time. And it doesn't matter how you try to manage it. You're just spending time running here and there, and your life becomes full of that. And then you got this on Monday night, and you got this on Tuesday night. I'm just exhausted. So Wednesday night comes and you say, I just got to rest, and you don't have time to go to church. You ever had that happen? in the churches where you worship? That you let the things of life, the affairs of life, not any of those things were sinful that I just listed to you. But they can so consume our time that we don't have time to be available to serve the Lord. And you begin to feel like you're on this treadmill, that the faster you walk, the further behind you get, and you're just not able to keep up with what is going on. The exhaustion begins to come in, and you begin to leave out the most important things of your life. You don't make time in your life to study God's Word so that you could be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what happens is that you go home with your Bible and you set it on the coffee table, and it sits there until Wednesday night. You're on your way to church and you pick it up, and that's the first time it's been in your hand since Sunday. You haven't opened it to read the precious words that build our faith and sustain our faith. And you come home on Wednesday night and you set it back down on that coffee table, and it sits there for another period of time the same way. That's an alarm. That ought to alarm you. If that's what your life is like, you've let some things take priorities that they ought not to take. And as you think about that, I want you to think about some men that became entangled in the affairs of life to this way. Turn, if you will, with me to the 19th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus